Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm John Batchelor with my good colleague David Daoud of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. The ceasefire underway means that the surrogates are looking to Tehran for leadership or not. David, Hezbollah waged war on Israel all during the critical months of late 23 through 24 into 25. And then, after the Israeli and U.S. strike on the suspect nuclear weapons sites, Hezbollah appears to have stood down, despite rocketing and harassing Israel for many months, long after it was resolved that they had no leadership. They've continued the harassing fire, and yet silence these last days. Can we explain this? It's odd, Peter, David. It's very odd.
Well, I don't know that it's odd. I think that, you know, we assume that a proxy can only serve its patron through action. Sometimes, you know, the best thing you can do is not to act, especially when, you know, we have to take into consideration that Hezbollah is Iran's main asset. Iran does not want to lose Hezbollah. Hezbollah has taken a beating from the Israelis. They're internally trying to reorganize. So, yes, could they inflict pain upon Israel if they had gone to war? They could have. Could they have fought Israel to a stalemate? Or would this war just opened up more excuse for the Israelis to continue demolishing Hezbollah? At the same time, internally within Lebanon, what Hezbollah doesn't want these questions that are being pushed by the United States, that many Lebanese are pushing about the fate of Hezbollah's arms, to become an active disarmament effort. There's Lebanese street anger. They want that to calm down, to die down with time, and not for it to become street violence or, pressure from the ground up on the government to disarm Hezbollah, for it bringing two foreign wars upon Lebanon within a short period of time. Then Hezbollah also has to consider its domestic base, right? The Shiites. Most of these people aren't ideologues. Most of these people who support Hezbollah, these Shiites, they're not Khomeinist ideologues. They're people who support the organization for pragmatic reasons. Domestically, as they see it, for giving them dignity, for giving them parity with Lebanon's other sects, externally, for giving them security, but security on their terms, not for dragging them into ideological adventures. Again, they are not Khomeinists. They might care about Palestine in a theoretical sense. They might care about Iran in a theoretical sense. They're not willing to die and lose their livelihood, these supporters. So Hezbollah can only go so far without upsetting them. And again, bringing the last war ruined their lives for many of them. So bringing more destruction upon them could start to create anger within this base, or let that anger that may exist now that Hezbollah is trying to get to calm down, make it blow up, and then Hezbollah loses its supporters. So at that point, Iran loses an asset that right now is beaten, but not completely destroyed. It loses its ability to reconstitute and rebuild that asset. So that's part one. Iran, again, we talked about earlier, Iran aspires to regional expansionism. You don't get that by burning your assets unnecessarily. The second part, critically, is that Iran wanted this war to die down. Right? They realized that the Israelis gave them beating within the first minutes of that war, and that continued for the 12 days. They didn't want the United States to get involved at all. The United States had a temporary, minor relative to the rest of things, involvement, but it wasn't a sustained involvement. That's the last thing that Iran wanted, because it knew it couldn't take it. For all of its bombast, for all of its bellicose rhetoric, Iran realizes it lacks conventional parity with either Israel or the United States, let alone these two forces combined. And bringing your proxies in, telling your proxies to activate whatever they have left, this obviously takes things up the escalatory ladder and would create a longer war, during which Iran would suffer more, during which the United States may get involved more. And Iran wanted the exact opposite. So the best way for Hezbollah to serve Iran by preserving itself, by ensuring that this war did not escalate to a point where it could threaten the regime, was to stay out of the war. So it wasn't that Hezbollah disconnected from Iran or that they're no longer the loyal proxy. It is specifically that they are a loyal proxy and therefore they remain silent because that's what Iran needed at the moment.
Syria, you've mentioned there is talk that there could be a conversation between Jerusalem and Damascus. To what end? Because al-Jalani / al-Shara has a maybe influence on greater Damascus, not the whole country.
Look, he's starting to consolidate power. And look, there's a, you know, I'm of two minds on how to read this. On the one hand, you know, I don't think peace is imminent between these two countries. There are a lot of outstanding issues. You've had enmity for, even if you haven't had active war in 50 years, you've had enmity for the better part of 80 years. Peace isn't born in a day, even in where, you know, with countries like Israel and you know, Morocco or the Gulf states where there weren't territorial disputes, where there hasn't really been conflict, there hadn't been bloodshed. Morocco did send some contingents to fight against Israel in different wars, but it's not on the level of, you know, Israel and its immediate neighbors. Even that took decades before it came to fruition with the Abraham Accords. And it started with minor contacts, minor clandestine contacts, and that had to accumulate over the course of decades for the normalization agreements that happened, the Abraham Accords that happened to be possible. Now, is it possible with Syria? Anything's possible, but it's highly improbable. So what we're looking at is probably some kind of security arrangements. Now, is President Ashura, Jalani, is he sincere? Now, that's the different question. I think on the one hand, he desires peace and quiet, right? As you mentioned, he needs to consolidate his control over Syria. That can't happen without external quiet, without sanctions being lifted off of Syria, without investment coming into Syria. He needs Syria to become a normal and normalized country for him to be able to bring money into the country, for him to build his armed forces, for him to be able to quietly consolidate control over Syria, for him to have international support for consolidating his support over Syria, rather than having the international community fighting him, fighting his ability or his attempts to consolidate control over the country. Now, one gateway to show, and all of that we just talked about, all that that I just mentioned, is premised on the idea that he is no longer the militant jihadist, the terrorist he used to be, that he has genuinely undergone this change. One way to demonstrate that, if not the best way to demonstrate that, is through contacts with Israel. This is where it gets tricky. Is he sincere or is he playing the game that Hafez al-Assad and Bashar al-Assad used to play all the time when they felt that they were in hot water with the international community, which is to activate contact talks with Israel. And let's not forget, in the late 1990s, the talk was of peace, not just some kind of security agreement, but Hafez al-Assad put in terms that made the peace agreement not possible. Seems like he was negotiating in bad faith. He wanted to control the headwaters of the Lake Tiberias, which provides so much of Israel's water. Israel would have never agreed to that. He put in this term that would have foiled the agreement from the outset. But the benefit he got, regardless, from negotiating with the Israelis is to be perceived in the international community as a responsible actor. It opened doors for him to the international community. It brought him meetings with President Clinton, and that in and of itself is a benefit. He lost nothing. He gave nothing. He didn't really want, but and just for the mere fact of negotiating, he got so much from the international community. His son and successor also did this. Right before the Syrian civil war erupted, Bashar al-Assad was doing this, where he was, you know, engaging in these cosmetic contacts to open up doors in the international community. After the Syrian civil war, there was talk again for the same reason. I think Bashar al-Assad's motivations were the same. Is Shara doing the same thing? He's trying to just use the cosmetic appearance of negotiations with the Israelis to open up doors to the international community, or is he genuinely seeking peace, or at least the pathway to peace? That remains to be seen.
David Daoud, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.